Good morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Welcome to this third Tuesday of the month, on mid-morning, which means an hour with Dr. Mitch Cruz. Mitch is the author of Restoration Road and the host of the TV show The Restoration Road. You can go to MitchCruz.com for the complete list of stations airing his show and for more information about his ministry. You can also link to Mitch's website from the weekly schedule page. WBCL is able to encourage your heart thanks to the area businesses that team with you to support us, like Lenawee Christian School in Adrian, partnering with families and churches to see students strive toward their full potential. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. Good morning, Mitch Cruz.
Good morning, Lynn.
Hey, your interview with Char Binkley aired a couple of weeks ago, and you've known Char a long time. What stood out
like
to you?
I would say kind of a moving from perfection to excellence. She reminds me so much of me in ways that she wants everything to be a certain way and right, but then understanding that there's fallenness all around you. You can't control what another person's mm-hmm. going to do. You can only respond with how you're going to choose to feel, and that was what was powerful to me. I guess how relational, at the end of the day, she's approaches everything.
Yes. She said to me in an email after that, it's going to be on, and it was just too much about me. And I emailed her back, and I said, you were on to share your story, but in your story, we do get the larger God story. It just shines mm-hmm. so brightly. So, you know, set that aside and realize that the Lord accomplished what he wanted to through you, but that is so her. If you missed it, you can go to the archive and watch it on the Restoration
Road.
Yes, as well as other shows there.
I got a text from my mom afterwards. She's something else. That's
she is something else. Mm-hmm. What I love about her, and I loved it when she was here as well, but especially at this time in the world, for young Christian women, you know, one of the things that Char said is when she used to sort of be embarrassed she didn't have this dramatic faith story mm-hmm. of, you know, I once was and now I am. but she has the joy of not having a lot of heartache because of those kinds of decisions.
Yeah.
And to see what wisdom looks like, what wisdom gets you, what self-control gets you, mm-hmm. what saying yes to the Lord get you in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, how it shapes your life and protects you and blesses you. And and so when you're in your late 20s or when you're a teenager or when you're in your early 20s and somebody says to you, you know, choose the Lord, it's kind of hard to do that when what you want so badly seems to be the thing that is going to mm-hmm. fill you up. But to hear Char's story, to realize, okay, here's somebody in her 70s who did it.
She's in her 70s?
Yes.
Man. There's another takeaway. I thought she was a lot younger.
Well, because she has this vitality.
Oh, yeah. She's so happy. And oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We laughed a lot.
I know. So check it out on the Restoration Road. Today, we are beginning a three-part discussion on the three habits of highly destructive people. Some people, their lives are a cautionary tale for us, and others, it's model after me. This is a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm. Do you pursue? There it is. I got my Apple. That's Char calling. I should take it. You want me to take it?
Yeah, put it on speaker. Char, you're going to be on speaker.
Oh, I just I hit silent to try to be nice.
I'll tell you what, Char, which means you're listening, call 745-9090, and we'll assume that the person, when the phone lights up, is you.
It.
She's going to say something to us.
That's going to be really, really cool.
I'm scared.
I felt the vibration in my pocket first, so I hit that button to stop the dinging on my Apple Watch that I got just to work out with.
So if there's something you want to say to Mitch right now, Char, you're going to have to do it at 745-9090.
Here it is.
Here she is again. All right. I don't think we've done this before.
Are you calling me on purpose?
Put her on speaker. Put her on speaker.
Seriously?
If she's going to talk to you, she's talking to all of us.
She said that she...
What did you say?
She wanted me to stop it and move on. But you look so young.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. But I really meant to text you and say stop it and move on. But I called instead. What can I say? I'm 73. Okay.
Let me just say to you, bye-bye. You are not the host of this show. If you were sitting in this chair this morning, you could make that decision to stop it and move on, but you are not. We will now move on.
Tell her I'll get even later.
Okay. Thank you, too.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
That's the love of Jesus in her.
That is funny.
I will get even with you later.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Thank you, Char. So today we begin a three-part discussion, as I said, because we wrapped up the discussion on body image with Kelsey. If you missed that, you really need to hear that. Whether you've got a teenage daughter or not, if you're just female, this is for you. If you're a male, it's for you as well, so you understand and love the women in your life better. So that's on our archive here at mid-morning. So our discussion today, the three habits of highly destructive people. When I asked you for a list of potential topics, when I saw that, I thought, oh, he mistyped. He meant highly, you know.
Effective.
Effective, creative, godly. Yeah. But you meant highly destructive
people.
I did,
yeah. Do you pursue satisfaction of your desires apart from God? In our fallen nature, we lust for sex outside God's design. We crave food beyond that which is healthy, life-giving, and nutritional. We restrict intake in order to feel thin. We pursue the rush of a drug or the escape of alcohol and attempts to make our Kelsey's texting me now.
Do they not realize you're on the air?
I'm not sure.
People stop texting him. Yes, he can multitask better than most people, but he really gets distracted. Shiny things.
Listen to what she said. Should I call you now? Smiley face. I am listening on my way to Fort Wayne.
Or should I just swing by?
Hey, if you would swing by, that would be great, Kelsey. I forgot where I was.
I wonder what Megan and Haley and everyone else is doing.
Anybody we bring up. We crave food beyond that which is healthy, life-giving, nutritional. You even restrict intake in order to feel thin. We pursue the rush of a drug or the escape of alcohol in attempts to make our bodies feel gratified apart from God. We even overtrain, often addicted to the chemical release that exercise offers. The pursuit of physical pleasure apart from God leaves us wanting more and more of our fix of choice in order to feel a greater rush. The Apostle John called this the lust of the flesh. It's the first of three habits of highly destructive people. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, he said, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." That last line he got from the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So did you catch that? The lust of the flesh is not from the Father, but from the world, cosmos in Greek, meaning that which is opposed to God. The world and its lusts are temporary. While a life of gratifying these desires might occasionally feel good in the short term, it carries long-term consequences, namely death, eternal separation from God. However, those who embrace the Father's love and do His will experience eternal life. Consequently, each of us is faced with a choice regarding our bodies. Do we pursue the world's lust of the flesh and its pleasures, or the Father's love?
When we think of lust of the flesh, we think of
it. It's just like what you just said at the beginning about Char's life.
Yes. We think of lust of the flesh as being just almost solely in a sexual context.
Right. But it's everything to gratify our physical desires. And we just get bombarded with that all over the place, especially in our Western culture.
You know, when you sent this to me, and in fact, what's up as the worksheet for today, which you can access via the Mid-Morning homepage and just click on Regular Guests and then Mitch, and you'll head there. And that's also where today's show will be later on, as also on the weekly schedule page. But you called habit number one pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And pleasure is one of those words that can really trip you up, because pleasure can be a really good thing.
Yeah.
It's what we do with pleasure.
It is.
So say more about that.
Yeah, I'm separating it from, and this use is just a P word to help us remember, but I'm calling it the pursuit of physical pleasure apart from God. Okay. So that's how we're doing it. Proverbs, what is today the 19th? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 19:23 I read this morning, says, "The fear of the Lord leads to contentment." And your rest, you're free from trouble. These are rest and free from trouble. So restoration and free from trouble. Contentment means literally be held together. It all comes from surrendering your life to Christ as Savior and Lord, then experiencing that humility toward God, the fear of the Lord, and He holds it all together and He restores you. Rest is different than how we're using pleasure here. We're talking about pursuing satisfaction apart from God. It's like going overboard. Mm-hmm. Solomon said this. He said, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. So when you're doing it just to have the lust of the flesh gratified, it's not going to work out for you in the long term. And when facing sexual temptation, Solomon taught, do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes. Men are attracted by sight and women desire pursuit and tend to nurture that pursuit. Mm-hmm. So in our Western culture, like we said, we're just bombarded with the message that sexual gratification outside God's design is normal and satisfying. The Apostle Paul taught believers living in one of the most promiscuous societies in history. Everything that you see on the internet was live in Corinth. He said, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. I would add a world record price. Therefore, honor God with your body. God paid a world record price in Christ for us to be redeemed from our plight so that we might pursue His love over lust, namely lust of the flesh. Regarding our physical tension, Paul put it this way, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When tempted by the lust of the flesh, we need to seek God's doorway out. And the path to that doorway is lit by the Holy Spirit, who unlocks the door and leads us to Christ. Pursuing the heart of Christ transforms our focus. We either focus on Christ or the circumstances. When we focus on Christ like a magnifying glass, mm-hmm. the circumstances are fuzzy. If we focus on the circumstances and they're the focal point, Christ will become fuzzy. So Paul summarized in a positive, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, mm-hmm. do it all for the glory of God.
Let's stick with that for a second. I want to go back up to the verse on temptation and how when we're tempted, it will not be beyond what we can bear. Some people use this verse or confuse it with suffering, that we will never get more than we can handle.
Mm.
Have you heard it used that way?
Yeah, right.
But that isn't the case at all. We do get more than we can handle.
We do. And we have to turn it over to God. I think one of the things that we do with any discussion about faith, any teaching in the Bible about faith, is we make it religion. And so we want an if A, then B kind of God. And it's a relationship. So it might look different for someone than someone else. Same love of Christ, same mm-hmm. sin, same grace, same faith. But it can be different. So we want to say, hey, if this happens, then I can just do this magic trick and everything's going to work out okay. But temptation in and of itself is not a sin. And we're all going to be tempted. Jesus walked this earth and was tempted. But God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear because He's always given us a way out. We're not going to build our spiritual anti-temptation muscles so strong that we resist it all the time. That would be religion. We have a God of the universe and the Holy Spirit who we can surrender the temptation to, and He leads us away from it. That's relationship.
Say more about the way out, because shows we've been discussing addiction of any kind. And this verse is often, you know, one of the ones that we use that He's going to provide a way out. But we can misunderstand what that means. We can think, well, He's going to change the feeling or change the desire. Let's use pornography, for example, mm-hmm. for somebody who is struggling with pornography. And so here's this man in front of his computer or he's on his phone mm-hmm. and he's looking at it. He's feeling a temptation to go to a site.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at those verses and he says, well, God's going to provide a way out for me, so I can stand up under this temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting for the temptation or the feeling to change. That's how God's going to provide the way out for them. But what exactly does that mean in a situation like that? What part is mine to say, Holy Spirit, give me the strength to turn away now and actually move on that?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to be a feeling, something, you know, where there's an actual shift in you?
I heard someone who had struggled with an addiction say it this way, a sexual addiction. I kept praying. He was a believer. I kept praying, God, take it away, take it away, take it away. Mm-hmm. He said, I would struggle. He said, then finally, I decided to pray, God, give me your heart. Give me the heart of Christ. And he said, focusing not on the removal of a negative, but on a positive, transformed my life. He said, I can't say I'm no longer tempted, but everything began to change when I shifted that prayer. Fast forward, I had a young lady who I had invested in, reaches out to me in college and shares similar things. And she said, you know, I think I went through all that potential spiritual development and didn't get any of it. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for 30 days and God give me your heart. And I met with her 30 days later, and she surrendered her heart to Christ as Savior and Lord, and I would call her now a kingdom builder.
Mm.
I struggle with the abuse of Diet Pepsi. A little over a year ago, my best friend from high school says, you know, a lady came to our office, and he's fit, and he's a really good athlete, and he said, she said, drink a gallon of water a day. She said, bags under my eyes are going to go away. And he starts listening to the benefits. Boom, 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 boom. And I go, well, I can't leave you hanging. He goes, what? I go, I'll drink a gallon of water a day with you. He goes, okay. So about a month later, we're going to the bathroom all the time, and we're talking at a volleyball
That's
tournament.
That's where you met up most days.
Oh, it's hilarious. It was hilarious. So we're watching our daughters play volleyball together and talking as we go. And he said, she said, I can go 88 ounces now. You can do an ounce for half of your, each pound of half of your, that totals half your body weight. And I said, you know, I'm just going to stick with it. Well, here's what's happened. The more water I drink, the less Diet Pepsi I can even fit in there.
Yes.
And it has changed me quite a bit. I think it's hydrated. I lift weights and I think it's hydrated my joints a little bit better. And it's killed. It has absolutely killed my appetite. Just, I can't believe what it's done in that regard. So the pursuing of the positive, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying, that's good for you. That's God's design, let's say. The water Diet Pepsi is why I said, let's say. It's different than God remove this negative.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about this in late summer or fall, but we can't pretend the desire isn't there. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
And it's probably a journey for that desire to change. Anybody that's been through anything like this, I think they'll tell you that, sometimes the desire is gone. I know a story of a lady that the desire was a drug addict. The desire was gone immediately. She was delivered, mm-hmm. by reading Psalm 40, and it changed her life. She was reading it for another guy that wanted delivered, another drug addict, and she was delivered. Now she tours with Franklin Graham. So it's just amazing, that, mm-hmm. kind of thing. But it seems that it's usually a journey, and then the more you get that positive and the positive reinforcement of God's design for your life, the more you realize, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did I even go down that road?
Let's also take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:31, which you just read for us. Mm-hmm. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. How do we do this? How do we eat or drink or any whatever we do, whether we're, you know, driving carpool or whatever, how do we do that for the glory of God?
Reveal his character and presence. Glorify or glory means to reveal the character and presence of. So we have an opportunity to reveal our own self-made, in our image, character and presence, or God's character and presence in everything that we do. We need to honor him. So we're not going to make somebody else stumble. You know, if they're tempted in that way, we're not going to do things in front of them that might lead them further astray. We're going to think about it. We're going to be conscientious about, intentional about honoring God in everything that we do. And he does say the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, we want to honor that. We want to steward our bodies in a way that helps us honor God.
It is 10:21 on this Tuesday. I'm Lynn Ford. Our guest today is our good friend, Dr. Mitch Cruz. He joins us every month on Mid-Morning, and the format for each of his visits is, for the first half hour, we spend that focusing on a particular topic, and then we open up the phones and you can ask anything you want of Dr. Mitch Cruz. You can ask about a particular passage of scripture, or maybe there's something you want clarification on, or maybe it's about, you know, living your life in the day-to-day as a follower of Christ. There's just something that, you know, is sort of the bump in the road for you. It could be relational. It could be within your own self. If you want some work advice, Mitch is great for that as well. So you can begin to email us now, midmorninglive@wbcl.org, and Facebook as well, and we'll open the phones at 10:30. You're listening to Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Did the Apostle Paul text you? Because we've mentioned his name.
Yeah, it's probably coming. I had my first eye exam yesterday.
In your whole life?
Yeah, I kind of had one in high school to see if it was for headaches, but it was really quick.
So you have perfect eyesight?
She really liked my distance vision. She told me I had wonderful eyes and all, really healthy eyes, yeah, and all that. But she said she's surprised that I was there. I said, because I have such healthy eyes? She says, no, because you need so much magnification for the reading. So she prescribed me 150s. I haven't used them yet. I haven't got any yet. And I see great. I see everything here great. If I'm in the sunlight, I think I could read everything fine. Can I look at your Bible?
Yes.
I'm just kind of curious. I could get through that. But that would be hard to preach from for a long time.
Because you've memorized that part?
Oh, yeah, right.
Jeremiah 29,
and one of
that's
those
very 150s? Familiar.
Are they really? Thank you, Peggy Sue. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is that the way it used to be?
See, you've gotten used to
See,
it.
That's
so that's
amazing.
Your new
is
normal, and now
is?
You
that's
realize what you've missed.
See, now Susan's got, she had it in around 40, and I didn't get it till, she said hardly anybody makes it till 50, but hers are a little strong. If I put hers on, it about knocks me out when I take them off. Get kind of nauseous. So, So I'll be like astute next time I come here. I'll pull those things out. Hello. Well, I won't need them for any of this. But I notice, like on the ESPN app, I can't quite read the time usually. I'm close.
I'm just shocked that
it went this long.
Yes.
Kelly Bird got it around 40, maybe a little. He bought an extra couple years, an optometrist friend of ours told me, because his arms are so long since he's 6'7". Well, back to
the
work.
Lesson here,
and
is,
I'm going to get a new body with new eyes on the other side. Christ is the solution to our conflict, and it's what we were really alluding to in answer to your question. Paul imparted, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. The NIV translates the latter part of this command as, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So we need to say yes to Christ, who empowers us to say no to the lust of the flesh. I think it's really important to get those things in order. You got to come to him to get cleaned up. You can't get cleaned up to come to him. So you say yes to Christ, who empowers us to say no to the lust of flesh. Christ is ready, willing, and able to deliver us from worldly temptations. He transforms our minds when we surrender every thought to him. I've used this with so many people struggling with any kind of lust of the flesh issue. I said, look, memorize 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge or the intimacy of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Hashtag every thought. So we experience this hope of Christ through three tools that God uses to make us new again. The Word of God, the people of God, the Spirit of God. We connect with the Word of God when we read the wisdom of the Bible. And with everybody that I've mentioned, it all led to, prior to their surrender, the Word of God was used for that. The people of God. Either the ones that I just shared, either I was engaged or somebody else was, and then the Spirit of God. So we connect with the Word of God when we read the wisdom of the Bible. Jesus quoted scripture when he was tempted by Satan. So I think it's a great tool that we can use. Memorizing verses from the Bible is one of the most powerful tools to learn wisdom and combat the lust of the flesh. We connect with the people of God when we enter into mutual submission with another Christ follower. I call it that instead of accountability. I think people run with the word accountability And it sounds more like shaking your finger at you. Hey, you shouldn't do that. I think it's a mutual submission because we're both not going to get it right all the time. We connect with the Spirit of God when we pray, modeling Christ's prayer of confidence in the loving Father who leads us away from temptation and delivers us from evil. When we humble our hearts to the Spirit of God, His wisdom will flow through us. Proverbs says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. So I want to just ask you today, what physical temptation is luring you toward life apart from God? Regardless of how dark it is, a glimmer of God's light is shining through right now. So turn toward the light. The Holy Spirit is guiding you toward the doorway to freedom. Confess your sin to your Heavenly Father and a trusted friend. That just means you agree with God from His perspective on what it is. And then develop a restoration plan that leads you to God's design of abundant and eternal life. The Word of God, the people of God, and the Spirit of God will make you new again and use you to bring His light to others. I can't read that, see that, think that, say that without thinking of my baby Kelsey who was with us the last 3 months. It is amazing. And I remember the moment where she was still in the thick of it, of restricting her eating, where she said, Dad, I think I want to use this to help other people. And it's just amazing. And then to see how the Holy Spirit worked in her, I think on March 5th, 2010, where we saw the Holy Spirit manifest Himself in a chapel at Lakewood Park Christian School in a way that I've only experienced one other time, and that was at an outreach where I was teaching the Bible in the Philippines. I cannot describe, nobody can describe what happened that day. But my goodness, there has been a change on the inside in that young lady, and how God has used her to disciple others is just, it's just amazing to me. And, you know, you hear all that, and I think it sounds like a proud dad, and it sounds like she's perfect, she's flawless. Not one of us is flawless, but we can be perfect as the Bible defines perfect, which is complete, complete in Christ, who fills all the gaps, and complete in our love and our mercy for other people. And that's what God's looking for. And then on the other side, we're freed from the presence of sin.
Every life matters, not just for itself, but for the body of Christ. I am really growing to understand why the body is so valuable. Mm-hmm. I've been a loner. I mean, I liked being a loner. I liked being self-contained and, you know, being orderly. When you bring other people in your life, it just gets messy, you know? And I didn't like that. But seeing that that is one of the three major ways that the Lord makes Himself known to us, that He speaks to us, that He loves us, and that it's important for us, that my life says something to somebody else, even when I'm not aware of it. Your life, everyone's life, what's happening in your life matters for the health of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crucial to that. Your story matters because God wrote it. And He put you here in this place, in this time, for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than you can ever imagine.
Yeah, not one of us waved our hand and said, hey, God put me on this scene of events now. There's a purpose, there's a powerful purpose that He has for us in the relationships. The unique watermark of our lives is precious. It's He has a purpose for it.
And not just now, but for the future. The circle that you are involved in is reaching into the future already, you know, and we don't recognize that what you do is changing the course of something, because that's the way God works. And so your faithfulness and your strength and your gifts all are part of the economy of this whole thing of humanity. And that, we don't say that to say you feel so we can feel better about ourselves. We say that to say what an amazing thing that every individual is not just sort of this tchotchke in a shelf that God, you know, sort of dusts off. He knows our names. He knows our hearts. He has a plan. And so today you need to know that. our strength as individuals is important. Our purity as individuals is important. If you've got a question for Mitch, phone lines are open, 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive@wbcl.org and Facebook too. And your question can be about what we've been discussing to this point in time, or it can be about what is on your mind on this 19th day of April. 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive@wbcl.org, Facebook too, as you're tuned to Midmorning. Take every thought captive. This is such a practical but powerful command, but also truth that God is giving to us.
Yeah, I've asked counselors, what do they say to people? What kind of tools do they give on applying, Christian counselors, on that verse? Mm-hmm. And there's just something beautiful about the simplicity of the word there. But I think it's when we begin to have a thought that the Holy Spirit convicts us of, that is apart from God's design, that we actually do what David did in the Psalms. We take it to God, unadulterated, here's exactly what I'm thinking. He already knows that, right? So it's for us. Mm-hmm. That confession is for us, not for him. I surrender you, lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me to where you want me to go. Help me to hold on to you and let go of that. I think it's a conscious conversation with God. When I hang around some more of my charismatic friends, I know that they talk to God a lot more on the fly out loud. And after being with them through kind of an outreach event, I found myself doing it more and more, and like when I was alone. Just talking to God more out loud, mm-hmm. of my mouth, not just in my mind.
So you hear it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's something, I would also run with that on this. When you read the Bible, there's something about reading it out loud so you hear it. So that's another good reason when you're with somebody or even alone, just read it out loud. But that's it. It's on the fly. It's surrendering that to God on the fly. And I want to wave flags and say, look, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about building your religious muscles so strong that you can resist every temptation, that you can take every thought captive on your own and not give it to Christ. No, I'm talking about a relationship where you recognize the truth of the fallen world that we live in and our sinful nature that's in conflict with the nature of the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us.
I put a quote up on our Facebook page today by Rick Warren, and it's, Christ-likeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation, which talks about that. The power of the Spirit in us.
Yeah.
Now, that's what changes us. That's what gives us the strength to do that. We can't change ourselves. And when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of sort of these big, miraculous sort of demonstrations and intense emotions. But most of the time, the Spirit works in just a small, quiet way.
Yeah.
In us, and it's just as powerful. Mm-hmm. His name says he's dynamite, so there isn't a small movement of the Spirit. 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org and Facebook too. I just want to say one more thing about this, because I have found it really helpful, and learned this from my friend Char Binkley. And the context for this was, I remember her doing a show on self-talk. And how when you go into a situation where your self-talk tends to just sort of go downhill really quickly, maybe it's a family gathering, a particular person or whatever it is. And if you don't go in prepared, more than likely, you're going to be reacting to everything. So to have ready in your mind, especially let's say you're dealing with a temptation, you've been involved in an extramarital affair and you've cut this off, but your thoughts go to this person all the time, What do you do with that? Do you wait until they come and then try to fight that? It's really helpful to have in place what you're going to say to yourself when that happens.
Plan.
Yeah, what you're going to say, whether it is, Father, bless this man and his wife. May their marriage be good. I pray for myself that would be true for me.
Mm-hmm.
That you're capturing that. You're putting it into a truth, because this is somebody else's spouse, not mine, and I have a spouse. So you're telling yourself the truth about that, and then asking the Lord to fill your mind.
Mm-hmm.
A couple sentences. But that becomes the pattern when those thoughts come. And that's a very powerful, practical thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And to be proactive about the pursuit of your spouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you call somebody that takes care of a lawn? A landscaper?
Yeah, a landscaper.
A landscaper said,
or a groundskeeper.
That the best way to eliminate weeds is to have a healthy lawn, not mm-hmm. to focus on the weeds. So the more that you work toward that positive health that keeps coming up, the less that you'll have the temptation or the pursuit of the other.
Yes.
You just don't have time. You're going in a different direction.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Rick. If you've got a question for Mitch Cruz, give us a call at 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org and Facebook too. Rick, good morning. You're on the air. What would you like to ask Mitch Cruz?
Good morning, Mitch. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I really don't have a question, but I do have an experience that I have had throughout maybe 20 years of my life, and it refers to the what you're talking about this morning and taking thoughts captive.
Mm-hmm.
When it's something that God has blessed me with is I'm a man, so I think stupid things and do, you know, go down that road many, many times. But when I realize that, and I ask myself the question, what are you doing? Why are you going to that place or this place? And what God has blessed me with is when I even think, and I used to say it out loud, I take that thought captive in Jesus' name, which I learned and was taught and understood through a very, very good friend and a pastor. God has taken my thoughts and completely put me on another subject. Mm. And I have, and again, I don't know if this is good or bad, tested him to say, well, what was I thinking about? And I can't remember.
Mm.
And wow. He has blessed me, and I have done that over and over and over again, and he has not one time let me down.
Amen.
Amazing. Mm. Amazing.
It makes me think of a time when I was memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, a verse a day, for either it's 100 verses or 110, somewhere in there, days, and how it transformed my thoughts. Because I would recall that, you know, as you get deeper and deeper into it, it takes a little bit longer to recall in your mind all those verses. There is no opportunity, really, for other things to come in there at that moment. And so you're not just subject to what's in front of your eyes. You're not just subject to those kinds of temptations when you're focused on, again, the healthy relationship with Christ and what he has for us. That's powerful, Rick.
Rick, yes. Thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you so much for allowing.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Rick.
All right.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There's an email from a friend of ours listening this morning from Lori, who writes, I can't seem to be steadfast in my relationship with God. I'm either way up or way down. I'm either obsessed with God or not giving him any time at all. I pray about it, but nothing seems to change. And I come out of it feeling like I'm not even saved at all.
Mm.
Do you have any insights on this?
Billy Joel wrote a song, I Don't Know Why I Go to Extremes. And I sat with a young lady I had invested in, and she won everything. Anything that she competed in, she would win. She's amazing. So when given the opportunity to drink alcohol at a Christian school, she became the best partier. And so the consequences started to come her way, and we had an unbelievable talk. I was rebounding for her, and she said, you know, I got a problem. And she starts telling me about some of the consequences she was facing. I go, oh, well, let's talk. And I talked to her about that song, which she wouldn't have known. So I played it for her.
Who's Billy Joel?
That's right. So I played it for her. I said, aren't those words amazing? That's what you've done. And so you've just become the best partier that you can be. And I'm telling you, that girl at a transformational moment, she is building the kingdom. You can't imagine what she's doing. I'm including a chapter on her in my next book because it's so crystal clear how a choice just changed everything. just change everything. Mm-hmm. And it was very much what we're talking about right here.
So for our friend who is...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, way up or way down, yeah. And even now questioning, do I even belong to Jesus?
So you're going to extremes. Now, first of all, 1 John 5:13 says, John wrote, I write these things so that you know that you have eternal life, so that you experience, is what he means, that you have eternal life. And we know that Paul also wrote, because this power of the Holy Spirit in you. So I would just, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to examine you and say, hey, am I doing what Mitch has been talking about today, that religious muscle, spiritual muscle thing where I'm developing and I'm trying to be all that? Or am I recognizing that, hey, I can't free myself from the penalty of sin, God in Christ, you can. I can't free myself from the power of sin, God in Christ, you can. And Augustine said it's humility, humility, humility. That is the prerequisite to a relationship with Christ. And so it's like David wrote, what you just said, what you just read, Lynn, is so much like what David writes in the Psalms. God, I don't get it. You know, what's going on here? You know, that kind of thing. God, where are you? And then it concludes, I think all the Psalms conclude except one, that, you know, you've been here all the time. So it's taking exactly how you feel, exactly what you said to God. And in many ways, that's taking every thought captive and asking him to deliver you. So to make that practical, I would encourage you to read a psalm a day for the next 150 days, for the next 6 months, and see what that does for you, because it's so much the pattern of what you're describing. And I think God will use that to make you new again, to change your perspective. And also, you can take 1 John 5:13. Why don't you just memorize it? And you know that you're in. You know that you've been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit if you surrendered your life to Christ.
I don't know Lori's story, and I don't know maybe her when she feels obsessed with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. What is that? How's that defined?
Like maybe you've gone to a retreat and mm-hmm. you've heard this, you know, speaker who has just unpacked the word for you, and you have this, you're being drawn by the Spirit to really know God better. So you come back with, you know, this idea of I'm going to, you know, have this whole list of things that I'm going to do so mm-hmm. that I can really know the Lord better. And I mean, I've felt that way. I've had that where I've come back and started something, and I don't know about you, Mitch, but a lot of believers feel that way. They come back and they start this whole new sort of plan for mm-hmm. getting to know the Lord better. And then you can do that when you're away from home at a retreat when people are fixing your food and cleaning up your bed
right,
for you.
Right.
But then you come home and you've got, you know,
tasks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden real life rams mm-hmm. in to these good intentions, and they slowly sort of slip away.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, you know, the more information you take in about the Lord, and you do that through Bible study and wherever you go, you've got all this stuff that you think, okay, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, and you get overwhelmed and wearied by all these things that, you know, that have such good intention.
Yeah, Susan and I try to take an annual anniversary trip, but a lot of times, due to the girls' schedules, we can't do that. But I noticed several years ago, I said, hey, have you noticed that we never argue on anniversary trips? She said, yeah, I think I have. And I said, I think it's because there's no task that we're worried about. There's no task. We're both task oriented. So we're not trying to multitask, get a lot of things done. And so it just goes away. Isn't that amazing how that just goes away? And we got to be really, really careful that we miss God in everything mm-hmm. that we do, that we don't miss God in everything we do. I think about, is it Gary Chapman who wrote the book on how we connect with God? Some are people who do it in creation. Some, you know, like me.
Gary Thomas.
Is it Gary Thomas? Gary Chapman's a singer.
Well, and also Gary Chapman has 5 love languages.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's Gary Thomas that wrote the...
Yes.
I was thinking it was the same. Okay. No. So, you know, as I look at all that, I get that people have a bent. You know, some people just, when they're in a mountain or they see a beach, man, they see God. But I look at all that and I say, well, man, I could kind of connect with all those. I kind of like combining them all. I like the worship music, the working out on the beach, you know, with the Word of God, reading that every day and studying it more and more. And I think that's a great means to grow in your relationship with God. Jesus said that. So see God, catch God in everything. Shark calls it catching the joy moments.
Yes.
Is that right? The joy spots?
Yes. So, Lori, it may not feel like Mitch gave you enough. Like reading one psalm a day is not going to get you there fast enough. Let me just say, you got your whole life to know the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, each day you'll grow, you'll move closer, and your love will deepen. But I think the simple prayer is, Lord, let me know you. Let me know you. And he's not going to shortchange you. Mm-mm. He wants you to know him. Yeah. So he's not going to shortchange you. In that reading of the psalm, you're going to meet with the Lord. Just meeting with him, being in his presence will change you.
Mm-hmm.
And he will give to you what you need for your life, which is different from what somebody else needs for their life and the grace he has for them in that day. So let me know you. That's the heartfelt prayer.
Yeah.
And you read a psalm a day, and we'd love to hear back from you to see maybe in a month where things are for you. All right?
Jesus, in his final prayer, it's called his high priestly prayer, and it's when a rabbi would be praying in front of his disciples, knowing that he was moving on. And he said, I believe in John 17:3, the definition of all this is eternal life. And that eternal life is knowing God. And it's just amazing what that intimacy with God, on how that bottom lines everything. He said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, epignos, that they may experience you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This whole thing boils down to intimacy with God. Mm-hmm. That's how we need to measure everything. Paul said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose, but then he defines what good is in verse 29, and it's the measurement of success, and it's to be shaped like Christ. And that's what happens in intimacy with God. So that transforms every single mm-hmm. decision that we make on everything that we're talking about is, am I being shaped like Christ? That's how I determine how I'm going to approach athletics. That's how I'm going to determine how I approach an argument with my spouse. That's how I determine how I'm going to approach my performance at work. Everything is going to be based on that. And then the things of this world grow strangely dim. It's just amazing how that happens.
It's 10:47. You're listening to Mid Morning, and Dr. Mitch Cruz is our guest. He's answering your questions about the Bible and God and the day-to-day life of living as a believer. If you've got a question about a work relationship or another relationship, a godly counsel this morning for you. 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org and Facebook too. Go back to the phones where our caller wishes to remain anonymous. Line one, thank you so much for calling. What would you like to ask Mitch?
I have a question about how to present another question to my father. They had an incident yesterday. He's a diabetic, and he had a diabetic attack, and it ended up that my mother needed to call the ambulance, which that upset him because he didn't want her to. But he doesn't take his diet
seriously,
mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. he doesn't go by the guidelines and all that, and this is his actions that has resulted to this. And he gets mad and, you know, treats her with disrespect. So I want to go to him and, you know, but I don't want to be disrespectful to him.
Right.
I just wondered if you could give me some advice how I could address this without getting, you know, him defensive or angry.
Mm-hmm. Man, I faced something similar this week. This is so interesting. It's challenging. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Who's the most influential person in his life?
Mine?
His.
Oh, his. Oh, I would probably have to say my brother that's deceased.
And you're his daughter, right?
Yes.
Do you have other siblings?
Yes, I have two other sisters.
I assume he loves his little girls, right?
Yes.
But you're going to get ready to say maybe he doesn't respect your opinion on the issue?
Well, he's very stubborn.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll respect it, but...
Well, the reason I ask is, you want to give some thought to this. Who's most influential? And that's the person you want to deliver. Is he going to be more responsive to a doctor, a physician? Who is the best deliverer of the message?
Who does he listen to?
Yeah. Now, when you... Go ahead.
I that would probably have to be me.
Yeah, so that's what I'm guessing. So don't statements produce resistance, yet questions generate answers? I think presenting everything in the form of a question, or I'm in my next book, I'm writing about parabolic speech, how you can share a story. It's very unthreatening. Most people walk in and say, "Dad, take your medication. Dad, eat that orange. Dad,
yes.
Don't eat that cheesecake." And I mean, it's really nothing new.
Yeah.
But you have to figure out how to lead difficult people through listening. And if he's being resistive, you have to give a painless first step, just something really simple. And then give another one a little bit later, especially if he's stubborn. And then give another one a little bit later. I've talked to people who are trying to change that are being resistive, and they'll say, "Man, you blew my mind when you gave me that whole plan. You know, I forgot it all when you told me." They just need a non-conflict, peaceful first step. And so I would pray about it. God will give you the answers. You can phrase it either in a story or in a question, or you can just bring something good that he likes to eat that's healthy for him, and you know, say, "Did you like that? And, you know, how do you feel? Let's take your blood sugar right now," you know, and that kind of thing. And maybe do it more on a positive approach. But I wouldn't try to get it all figured out all at once.
Okay. And, you know, now that you said that, I did read your little article about how to address a difficult person. I don't know if I got all the wordage right, but and I think I'll print that off and give that to my mother. That was very useful.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, I think you hit it right there. I think I'll get them both together and see how we can do this in a manner that they can both work with that.
He's got to be able to hear you. I mean, we tend to present things all the time and people don't even hear us. We're not giving thought to our audience, what the Bible calls us to do. So I think that's great. And again, in that series, we address, you know, the aggressive, the complainer, the people pleaser, and the passive resistive. And there's four things that we want to do with all of them, but they're uniquely done with each of those. So if you can grab that, it might be helpful.
Thank you.
Caller, mm-hmm. Was this the most serious episode he's had with regard to his diabetes?
No.
Okay.
No. This has been going on for years.
All
and
right.
He gets very violent when she tries to get, you know, you're supposed to put sugar in their mouth and, you know, get their sugar level up.
Mm-hmm.
And he fights her and, you know, she's not a young chicken and, you know, it's hard on her. And,
sure.
And, you know, I'd hate to see something happen to both of them at the
right.
same time.
Most definitely.
And,
well, I'm glad you were listening and had a chance to call. I just want to pray for you quickly before I let you go, because we lived this with my own dad who was diabetic. And I get this. And there are others that are listening this morning that your question is giving them the answer they need. God, I just thank you for our friend who called this morning, who obviously loves her mom and dad and is concerned for her dad's health and just for the overall health of the marriage and the life that her parents have. And I just pray for your wisdom for her now, that what she's heard from Mitch, that you will give exact wording to, and that you will prepare her heart to speak with her parents, that she can go without any hesitation or feeling like it's up to her to say the right thing, and it's up to her to change the situation. Father, it's not. That you are going before her. Prepare the way. I pray that you'll just speak to her father as well. It's had to be scary for him, and even though he presents this brave, almost sort of arrogant front, he's faced with some very real physical problems. And I pray that you will work in his heart, that you will speak whatever words he needs to hear, whether it's correction, whether it's just making him very much aware of his own mortality, but ready his heart to hear what our caller has to say. And I pray that this will be a situation where there is a result that is just life-giving to everyone. And I pray that for every other listener this morning who's in the same situation. In Christ's name, amen.
Oh, thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you for calling us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is a question, Mitch, that came in on a previous show, but I promised this listener that I would ask it of you. This question came during a show that Peggy Sue interviewed Jackie Kendall, and it was No More Bozos. It was about how to wait for a Boaz and live your life for that. So, how to be able to choose a Boaz, not a bozo.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Cool.
All right, so here's the question. My husband and I work with the college and career age at our church, and we have several single women in our group that truly fit the definition of a godly woman that you say men desire, but men don't seem to be interested in them. So how do we encourage them to continue on being the woman that they are when reality seems to be that the beautiful woman, no matter the character, gets the man, so to speak?
Men are turned on by sight, but that doesn't mean that's going to... How you gain is how you maintain a guy. So they have to connect with the heart level eventually. I mean, I've had so many men tell me, I don't care how beautiful she is. When she tells me how much of a jerk I am and all this kind of thing, you know, I don't want anything to do with her. So it's all going to come down to that anyway. Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a woman who lacks, a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. So it is a big deal. But it's that initial sight that I think's getting brought up here. But after that
they're
off.
Not, you know, not getting asked out, or they're not being able to find godly men that are really interested in them, who tend to go for maybe women that are more attractive.
Right, but it's worth the wait. I wouldn't change anything to try to gain their attention. I would engage, you know, conversationally, and I don't mean flirtatious, but to be a real person and to communicate. Part of me kind of wonders if you're throwing in the towel and not even engaging conversationally. You're not playing the games they're playing. I don't mean flirtatious games, but like, let's say they got a board game going on, or they got a tennis match going on, or a volleyball thing going on, and you're withdrawing. I think you got to be engaged. I don't think you, and the other thing I want to say, gosh, here it comes. I think you got to be really careful with what you watch on TV on how the world's telling us this works. And you kind of got to get away from that. And every beauty comes from the inside out. There's no question. And if you just try to attract a guy by sight, that's not going to last. So continue. I would say stay on the path. Make sure you're engaging conversationally and you're not withdrawing totally. And you will be pursued.
We have full lines and no time. So line 1 and 2, both anonymous. Line 3 is Mary. If you can call back next month, or if you can email your question, midmorninglive@wbcl.org. I'll make sure I attach it to our information for next month's show with Mitch, and we'll ask the question then. I think we can squeeze in this last email, though. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. However, other places it says to leave your requests with God. How do we make sense of that?
Oh, and walk away from it? I think it's the same. I think it's the same thing. Prayer is to be online with God. And it's in that online connection that we upload our requests and he downloads his presence. We're never meant to be offline from God, never. But the requests come sporadically, but he's always downloading his presence. So we need to be online with him and have his heart, our hearts shaped like his.
Dr. Mitch Cruz, thank you so much for being with us. Mitch joins us the third Tuesday of every month and his show Restoration Road on Sunday mornings. Go to his website to find out where you can watch it, because it's on in other places beside the Fort Wayne area. We have a worksheet for today's show. You can find that via the Mid-Morning homepage, so check that out. And Mitch is back next month for habit number 2 of highly destructive people. Thanks for listening today. Tomorrow it's We Wednesday, so it's Peggy Sue and me, and we hope you, because that's what makes it we. Stay tuned. Ken Church is next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free WBCL.